The Magi, or the wise men, as they're often known, occasionally known as the kings, although that's down to a song rather than anything that the Bible says, they get to Jerusalem, and they almost get it right, but they don't quite get it right. They arrive in the capital city. They think that they're going to meet a king. They think that the new baby is born, the new heir to the throne, in a rather shocking way. Imagine what it would be like today if some people from an Arab country were to knock on the door of a place in Israel and say, "We've come to worship your king." The shock waves would certainly go around the whole nation. But they arrive there. They understand somehow that the new king of the Jews is born. They understand somehow, and it's something to do with the star of all the strange things. They understand that if this king is born, the only right thing to do is to bow down and worship him. And yet, despite all this, they end up in the wrong place. And the fact that they end up in the wrong place almost, praise God, not quite, but almost results in the death of the child that they'd come to worship in the first place. The news was not meant to be leaked to King Herod at this stage. History tells us that Herod was a bit of a madman. He was somebody who had no qualms whatsoever about shedding blood. He killed or arranged for the death of his wife and some of his children. And the historians tell us that when Herod was dying, and apparently he had a really horrible death, he was very ill, and it was really gruesome the way that he died. But the story goes that as he was dying, that he sort of got all the leading characters of the country together, sort of got them into one place, and then he gave orders that all of these people should be killed. And the reason that he wanted them killed was to make sure that somebody would be mourning at his funeral, because he figured that nobody was ever going to mourn him because of how he had been. The picture the Bible gives us of King Herod as somebody who was prepared to kill all the two-year-olds and under is quite a believable picture, even if, as this sketch indicated, Rome didn't get to know about it. The wise men arrive not in the stable or the manger or at the manger. The wise men arrive in the royal palace, and they get it wrong. And the reason that they got it wrong is because they didn't know what the ancient prophecies said. They jumped to a conclusion that made sense and seemed obvious. Jewish king, Jerusalem, let's not bother checking out exactly where the star is in the sky, because surely that's where the Jewish king is going to be born. But the reality was that God was never going to send a savior through the family line of King Herod, for at least two reasons. One reason being that King Herod was a thug, and no thug can be the savior. If God is going to send his son into the world, he has to come into something completely different to that. But even more importantly, because the king must come from the royal line of David. And the royal line of David stretches back not just to Jerusalem, but back to Bethlehem. And on this day, God is doing something new. In line with prophecies that were hundreds of years old, God sends his son to Bethlehem. As we get to Christmas time this year, I don't know what you make of this Jesus. My feeling is that there are a lot of people in Brentwood and the area around who perhaps are a bit like the wise men. They are getting a lot of things right. There's a lot in your life that you want to do that is the sort of thing that God would want you to do. Perhaps, like the wise men, you believe. Perhaps you believe in God. And you have a sense that there is something that is out there that is beyond anything else that we know. Perhaps you've got some understanding of the Bible. This year has been the 400th anniversary of the first publication of what we now know as the Authorized or the King James Version of the Bible. this book has come into our culture so much that people quote it all the time without even knowing that they're quoting it. When the football supporters call the player who has moved to another team Judas, they quote the Bible. When people are complaining about a big organization and they say that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, they're quoting the Bible, although Jesus meant something rather different when he said it. When people talk about folk who go the extra mile, they quote the Bible. The Bible has become a part of our culture. And even today, if you go into W.H. Smith's The Waterstones and you look at the titles of the novels, so many of them have titles that are taken from the Bible. And in this day where so many people thought that Christianity would be dying out, it refuses to go quietly. But it's not enough to have some sort of vague understanding of the Bible at Christmas time. The wise men got it almost right, but not quite. And they had to come to this book for themselves. And King Herod calls his advisors and he says, well, where's the Messiah going to be born? And they say, in Bethlehem. And for us today, we can come humbly to this book. And we can say, what is this book saying to us? We need to get beyond just seeing it as a good book. We need to get beyond celebrating a translation of the Bible that happened 400 years ago, but to recognize that this is the book through which God speaks. And that today his message is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Today your Savior is born to you. And he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And those magi then get it right and they go to Bethlehem and they come and they bow down before Jesus and they offer him the gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, costly gifts that they brought, but they had to say to this king, we bow down and we worship you. We worship the real king, not a king like Herod, the puppet king, who only has his authority because of Rome and whose rights to the royal line are dodgy at best and completely fabricated at worst. Now they come and they bow down before the true king. That's the message of this book. Jesus is Lord. The early Christians spoke it out against a Roman emperor, Caesar, who would say, Caesar is Lord. And the early Christians were prepared to die because they refused to take the incense and offer it on the altar and say, Caesar is Lord, because they said, no, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one true king. And this book, this Bible, tells us that the right thing to do is to come down and to bow before this Jesus and to call him our Lord. You know, in the first century, as we date it, they knew what a king was. King Herod, as the sketch said, knew he wasn't really a king, although the Romans had given him that title, King of the Jews. His son, Archelaus, who was briefly mentioned in the Bible reading, was never given the title king. He was called Tetrarch, which is a lower title. In those days, though, they knew what a king was. They knew that a king had authority. They knew that when a king spoke, you did what the king said. They knew that the king wielded power in the nation. They knew that the safety of the nation depended upon the king. And today, the Bible tells us that all human kingship is just a parody of the kingship that Jesus comes to bring. And today we're called, bow down before him. Worship him. We've sung amazing words tonight. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. His power and his glory evermore proclaim the good news of great joy is that Jesus is born and that he is our King and he is our Lord. And today he is alive and today he reigns. And today he still says to us, follow me. Let's pray together.